Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. In the first part, we're going to have some fun with a scary hunting story. Joining us in the studio is Jane Piotrowski, who is a local children's author now that she's published her first book. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Phil. How are you today?
I am great. Good to have you in the studio here. So is writing a children's book, has that been kind of a lifelong passion for you?
Oh, absolutely. I've been writing and telling stories since I was as little as can be.
Wow. So this one, how long have you had this one in your noggin, so to speak?
I actually wrote this one back in 2018, and it's just kind of taken this long to get it out and published and put together for the public.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm actually living here in Richland Center, and I have two little boys and my husband, and we actually, we all pretty much work at Lamer's Bus Line in Spring Green. I drive bus, and I am working in the office throughout the day.
You have a love for the outdoors, though, I understand.
Oh, absolutely. I have a passion for being out in the great outdoors. I try and get out in the woods as much as possible. I'm not a hunter myself, but my husband is. We do a lot of outdoor shed hunting for antlers and mushroom hunting and ginsenging. We just try and be out as much as we possibly can as an entire family.
What's the connection with the state of Alaska?
We have a homestead in Alaska. We actually just purchased a year and a half ago, and we went up there for a while, and it was an amazing experience, and I can't wait to get back there.
Awesome. The weather, what's it like right now this time of year?
Actually, my husband just got back from Alaska, and he said it was about negative 10 the last day he was up there, and they had well over 10 inches of snow at our homestead, and just as nice as can be. He said the humidity there is a lot better than here. He said, you know, the weather that we have here has bitten right through them, but 10 below up there is just perfect because there's no humidity. It's really nice and relaxing up there.
Wow, I'm sure. So my scary hunting story is the name of the book. I know that you first got it copyrighted a few years ago, but what did it feel like to get that first copy in hand?
Oh my goodness, it was a dream come true. An absolute dream come true. I've been working on this book. I actually ended up putting it on the back burner for a few years because we were running a farm and just working and working. And then finally I had the opportunity and I just said, I need to do this. And so I did it.
It's been kid tested. Tell me about the reactions from the children that you've read it to.
Lots of laughs. The ending is the best part about the book. Every kid I've ever read it to, they enjoy reading it themselves too. It's one of those books that you can use your funny hunting voice to bring it to life. It's just a fun book to bring to life itself.
Kids love to hear stories read to them, but they also love to look at the pictures. Can you tell me about the illustrations?
The illustrations tell the full story. You open up the book and I mean, the illustrator did an amazing job. Katrina Susiani, she was just an amazing illustrator. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple years ago due to COVID. It was a very devastating loss for me because I have other books that I wanted her to illustrate. But there's some amazing, amazing illustrators out there, too, that are willing to help me with my other ones.
It really comes to life, though, and when people pick up the book, they'll know what I'm talking about, but the pictures just, they really pop out, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yep, I chose the illustrator for the reason I really like the watercolor illustrations is what she did. She did it all by hand and did a really amazing job.
Well, would you be so kind to read it for us here this morning?
Absolutely. I will read it in my funny hunting story voice.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Jane Piotrowski, My Scary Hunting Story.
I'm a big hunter. How do you do? I got a scary hunting story that I got to tell you. So I was hunting in the woods late one night when a pack of wild beasts came running into sight. Now they were also big, just like a Godzilla, but hairy all over, just like a gorilla. So I watched them pass one after another, and to my surprise, the last one was my mother. With razor-sharp teeth and big red eyes and a halo over her head made by fruit flies. Now I should have known it was her as she started to get close, because I tell you what, friends, she didn't smell like no eggs and no toast. As my eyes started to water and my nose started to run, I thought to myself, hey, I'm a big guy and I kill big deer. I shouldn't be shaking with a mortal fear. Now, I know what you're thinking. I shouldn't be scared of my mother, but only I know what happened to my brother. She caught them off guard. It was a total surprise. Then all that were left were her two brown eyes. So I gotta be strong and I gotta be a winner, or else I'm going to be my mother's next dinner. And you better believe she'll be on the hunt for more, but you won't see her trotting through the local store. Because she likes to stay hidden as can be, except for when Patterson caught her on TV. Now that didn't make her happy. In fact, it made her mad. And I think that's why she went after my dad. Now, my dad was a good guy, as good as a dad could be. Anytime he would see her coming, he would tell me to hide in a tree. And then one day it happened. My dad was no longer there. Although I searched for days, I could only find some hair. So if you don't see me next year by the lake, you'll know what happened. I became a steak. Now that is my scary story for this year. And if you see her coming, you better run with fear. Because if she don't catch you and kill you, her looks just might. I tell you from experience, she's not a pretty sight. And now you'll know why I had to stay put. And you would too if your mother was Bigfoot. Thank you.
Good stuff. And the radio audience can't see the illustration, but there is his mother. It's Bigfoot. And she even has lipstick on, I believe.
She sure does.
That's a female Bigfoot. And sure enough, fruit flies flying around.
Like I said, I really love the illustrations that she did. She was an amazing illustrator.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be rough if your mother was Bigfoot.
It sure would be, I think. Yeah, I had a lot of walking through the woods coming up with this one.
I bet. Yeah, your inspiration. So are you a fan of scary stories, too?
Yes, I am. And my three-year-old now, he is a huge fan of Bigfoot and cryptid stuff. So, like I was saying, I have a couple other books that are going to be coming out. One next year, hopefully, I can find the right illustrator to do it. And that one's going to be another blast to be reading on the radio.
Can you let us in on what the titles may be of your next books?
Yes, I actually, I'm coming up with, there's my crazy fishing story. Mm-hmm. And then another one that's going to be camping, but I haven't quite figured out what that one is. So, but that will be fun.
Yeah, that will. So again, outdoor stories. Where do the ideas pop up? Where do they come to you at?
Usually in the strangest times. I'm just like, oh, this is funny. Just coming up with, like, in the book, how the mother with the fruit flies, you know, what would be funnier, you know, having you got your red eyes, your sharp teeth. Hey, fruit flies flying over her head. Make it, you know, fun, not just for me, but for everybody else.
Indeed. Children can really use their imagination, can't
Absolutely.
They?
And that's what it's all about, is making the children laugh, and myself too. And that's something that I've always, you know, done when I'm writing stories. I try to make myself laugh. If I'm going to laugh during it, I'm guaranteed somebody else is probably going to laugh too.
Teachers will tell you how they can almost tell which kids have been read to at home, you know, because they just, I don't know, they're better readers, probably can learn to read better and things like that, but also imaginations and everything else.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. That goes a long ways when you're reading to a child and you can bring their imaginations to life. They don't need pictures. And like this book, you really don't need the pictures to bring the book to life, because it really just speaks for itself.
You developed the deer hunter accent there a little bit too, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah. I like that accent. I think it's a fun accent to have. And that's kind of where I got the inspiration, is, you know, his voice is where I bring the life this book. The fishing story, that one's going to be a little different, so I really can't wait for that one to come out.
The storyteller in here, then, are we to assume that it's a baby Bigfoot then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, right. At the end.
We never see his picture.
Nope. He stays hidden as could be. Except for when Patterson catches you on TV.
And who's Patterson? Just someone?
James Patterson. He's the one that caught Patty on film, if you know anything about Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 1960s, he was the first one to...
Okay, did not know that. So you got a little history involved here.
Yeah,
well.
Yep. I try and find something to really bring the book to life, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to read this to other people.
It always fascinates me, because I've always had a thought that I should write a children's book.
Because, and you should.
You know, like children's experiences and things like that. I'm always telling a story about this mean rooster we had. You know, and I'm always thinking Speckled Pete would be a good subject for a book. But then I don't want to make it too scary for the children either. So there's somewhat of a fine line there, isn't there?
Oh, like with this one, I read it to many children. You know, some people would think, you know, a mom coming after her kid and, you know, what's left are his two brown eyes. You know, that might be a little scary. But, you know, when kids put their imagination in, it's not scary. Uh-huh. There's a lot more bad things that's going on. And, it's just a funny rhyming story. If you can make it funny in some sort, then that's what the key is.
When you write these stories, you put them down then, do you test them on your own children then?
Oh, absolutely. My kids, and I've done some book readings at other schools too, and they really seem to enjoy not only me reading it, but then being able to read it themselves. I've, you know, had kids that are just sitting and listening, all right, do you want to come up and read? And they really enjoy doing that too, and using their voices.
That's awesome, you know, and reading out loud, and it's mm-hmm. kind of a lost art sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it can be kind of scary to try and get up and read out loud, but, you know, having support and just knowing that you can do it, you know, having faith is huge.
People couldn't see it, but you were actually reciting the story. You weren't actually reading it. I was impressed by that, too.
Yeah, I've read it enough times where I know the book by heart.
So where can people get My Scary Hunting Story if they'd like to pick up a copy?
Well, Oak Hooch Bookstore here in town, they have it. Other than that, on Amazon or, let's see, other websites. I know Amazon is selling it, and Barnes & Noble, they're also selling it too. And I actually do have another book reading at Barnes & Noble come the first of the year. It's called Bringing in the New Year. So that will be a fun book reading. And I'll have my stand up there in Madison. So that will be a lot of fun to do.
That's awesome. I've been there a couple of times when they've had book readings. So you got a big area there. That's got to be a fun time to get up in front of an audience and do that, isn't it?
Oh, it's a blast. It really is. And I also have somebody that's working on doing a video for this book, because I've heard from other people that it should be like a short video and maybe put it on Facebook or other websites, do a TikTok video or something of it. So I have somebody that's working on a video, and a couple different people have offered to do the voice for my scary hunting story. So
wonderful.
It'll be fun.
If you need somebody to play Bigfoot, we've got some people around the radio station here that probably could fit the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your story today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. Nice to meet you, Jane.
Thank you.
Come back when you get your next children's book. We'd love to have you on the air again. So.
Thank you. I definitely will do that.
Jane Piotrowski, look for it. It's called My Scary Hunting Story. And again, available locally at Okooch Books and Libations. It's a great one for kids of all ages. On our morning show today, we switch gears. We're talking about the Ithaca School District and some recent things going on there. In the studio today, we have Mrs. Myra Masters, who's the Spanish teacher at Ithaca High School. We also have Kathleen Shane, elementary principal, a district curriculum director. And we have Marty Richards here today, member of the school board. Marty?
We need to add another title to Kathleen because okay. It sounds like she's not doing enough, which... Anybody who knows what Kathleen's up to, that's not all she's doing.
No.
So Kathleen's one busy young lady, and we really appreciate her. So I just want to make sure everybody knows I'm joking.
Thanks, Marty.
Well, the last time we were here, it was all about the referendum, yep. And that passed. And, you know, from that standpoint, it was a great thing for the district.
Right? Yeah. You know, I've been nervous about things before, but I was really nervous about that, Phil, because I don't know if the public and the community really understands. Had that not passed, that would have caused some deep felt pain in many different levels. Fortunately, the voting public of the Ithaca School District, you know, supported that wholeheartedly. Of all the referendums, I kind of checked, and of all the referendums building and operating in Wisconsin, it passed with the highest percentage of support at 68%. We didn't know that was going to happen for sure. It started to feel that way a little bit. We're very appreciative of that. I think it also shows, you know, historically at the Ithaca School District, there's been a lot of community support. And I think what came through, and I kind of heard it in comments, is the Ithaca School District is more than just a school. And in Ithaca, this is, I think, no one would argue with this. It is part of the community. It is ingrained in the community, and the community is that school district. And that's been my experience. I've coached at two other school districts, and I've kind of had a little bit of experience from those districts. And while they have a lot of different positive values of their own, there was always a difference in that, you know, in the 50s, we kind of went through this consolidation of different districts where you had really small, I mean, even one-room schoolhouses that finally consolidated, kind of made the landscape look the way it does now. And there was a little bit of difference where some of those communities were put together into a singular school district. And that identity doesn't always then meld into this one district. At Ithaca, we did put, you know, some different communities together. When you look at Lloyd and Bear Valley, Sextonville had a high school. But they really quickly became one community. And I think people understand that the Ithaca Public School District is very important to the identity and the events overall of what happens in the community. And I will say, from a board perspective, you know, this was step one of about five steps. We need to then also now focus on some other things, and we have other steps planned to make sure for long-time success and existence, quite honestly, that we have good facilities, that we also are attracting new students to the area, and that we are embracing those who are looking for an opportunity like the one Ithaca presents.
It was just in the news, Marty, Boston, which is 45 minutes away from the Ithaca District, where they're facing some real challenges because they've had two turned down recently.
And I've had, so in my previous career, I had quite a bit of experience with Boston. It was one of the school districts I worked with, and a really nice administrative team there. Not unlike our area, somewhat agriculturally based. In, you know, they do have some more manufacturing. So I'm a little puzzled by that result, quite honestly, but they're in a bad spot. And that's the reality of operating referendums in this day and age. I think if you had a discussion 25 years ago about an operating referendum, it'd be like, whoa, what's the administration doing, or what's the school board doing? Why are they? And there may have been good reasons to do that at that time, but it was not. You know, there was 180 operating referendums or referendums on this last election. So, I mean, this is a routine thing now to fund public schools that are being run well. So, Boston, I have a little familiarity with them, and they've made their cuts already. So, for them to exist without another operating referendum, that's rough. That's a rough picture. I don't know how they'll do that. And I did hear an interview with the district administrator on TV the other day, and it was painful. It was hard to hear because that is just part of financing schools at this time. That's the way school finance is set up, especially for rural schools. If you're an urban or suburban school, you've got plenty of tax base. You've also got a higher density of students to kind of work from or draw from. But in the rural schools, the way the current finance formula is set up in the state, they just are not getting enough money per pupil to operate that school district without feeling financial pain. I always go back to the Ithaca School District is receiving the same amount per pupil from the state of Wisconsin that they did in 2011. Now, if you think about the inflation the last few years and just normal costs, increasing costs from, that many 13 years, ago. How would you run a household on it?
Right.
I don't know how you would do that.
And so, salaries and cost of living and everything else.
Insurance. You're paying for health insurance. So I guess I really, and I've had a couple of discussions with our local representatives. So you're sitting on $4 billion of taxpayer money that I call the slush fund now. It's the legislative slush fund of taxpayer money that has not been allocated. They do not have a plan for where it's going to go. And there it sits, but yet you have rural schools trying to figure out how to run their school, educate children, and make better, citizens for our communities. I don't understand that. I struggle with that one. Mm-hmm. So, but back to the Boston example. Ouch. Yeah, I'm very thankful. I'm very relieved, and really, I'm excited for the future of Ithaca schools, because this allows us now to kind of put more long-range plans in place to where we can continue to grow and then bring more students to the school.
Bring Kathleen into the conversation as well. Kathleen, as the referendum passed, I'm guessing, that's a good thing as far as the demeanor of the staff and the students and everything else. I think everybody feels good about it.
Right? Yeah, it was, there was a lot of emotion around coming up to that day because we knew the reality if it did not pass. So as an alumni and as a community member, I want to thank the voters because I know that money is tight all the time, and it seems tighter. So now, with the housing market and rent costs so high, and your interest rate if you buy a home is so high. So I appreciate that they saw that their dollars are well spent at Ithaca. Along with that, though, I wanted to add to it, and I've said it before. Marty mentions 2011. We had an operating referendum in 2004. We have not had one since. And as I understand it, my limited knowledge, and I thank Bill Davis years ago who helped me understand school finance, Ithaca has always been financially responsible. So if we looked at our budget and said, this is how much we have that we're going to get, this is what we're going to do. Literally, I remember sitting in board meetings and we couldn't make
purchase decisions until after October, when the money would come out to be determined what schools were going to receive. So because we were so responsible, we got dinged because you're given money based on how much you spent the year prior. Well, if we always stayed within our means. So each year we'd stay within our means, and so we'd get a little bit less from the state. And that's what led to what happened this year. So I want to thank the voters, but I also want to remind them that going forward, and, you know, it's been mentioned about Mauston, public schools are funded by the state regardless if the community has its own. So thankfully, Ithaca community has its own, has local control with this through the school board, but had it failed, voters would still be paying school tax to some other district. So I want to thank the voters because Ithaca has, you know, we began a school in 1855 up at Richards Greenery. Yep. And I hope we can do another 160 years and that our grandchildren have, you know, can go back to their alumni. The building will be there. It'll be running. But yeah, so the other part of that, too, that I want voters to know, when it comes to the legislative, you know, we lose dollars that we don't even know where they come from through school voucher. And I learned this year. So school voucher was started by Tommy Thompson years and years ago, 1993, for a good reason. But it's kind of eroded since. And so this year alone, last year alone, Ithaca spent out almost $130,000 for students, families who filled out forms for school voucher, which means that they've selected an approved voucher school, and dollars that would have come to Ithaca had that student enrolled go to that voucher school instead. So those are students that were never told that exist in our district. It's not like they did an open enroll out or anything. It's the process of voucher. So that's a concern of mine, if parents are listening that have chosen to voucher, you know, call me. I'd like to know why. I'd like to know if we can offer what they're seeking. You know, schools are kind of we're a business to please our customers, right? And so if they're not pleased, we want to know. If they don't know about us, come and shop around and come see what we offer.
I think that's important, you know, to kind of take a survey and figure out maybe if there are some things you need to change, you can change. And,
you know, if there's, that's what I tell all my families. Like, if you have a concern, come to us first, right? So the rumor mill can cause problems. So come and let's work through the problem. Let's see if we can find a solution that we both are agreeable to and what's best for students, right? It's always about what's best for students.
And I think that's one of the features of the Ithaca Public School District is we are small enough and we are engaged enough that we do want to serve all the students. And that's a public school. You have to serve all the students. But at our numbers, it's nice because we can identify, oh, here is how we're nimble enough. We can make changes. We can make things happen to serve those that may not be familiar yet. So I love that point. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some things you're happy about now that the school's underway? Some things, some wins here in the first few months, Kathleen.
Some wins. Well, you know, one thing I like about Ithaca is we're all under one roof. So we have some great program that I started when I became principal. We call it our teaching assistants, and I think I have 25 high school kids that go into the elementary classrooms for various reasons. There's some middle school kids that if their study hall isn't needed by them, you know, they're efficient at getting their work done, or they don't mind taking some work home to finish, they'll volunteer as well. But that has been super successful. There's several that I'm like, you got to go into teaching. You are really good. Oh, I don't think, Mrs. Shane. I'm like, yes, you are really good with kids. And so that to me is a big success. And an offshoot of that, Monica Kirshner and Jenna Whipperforth put together, it's called RISE program. And I think RISE stands for something, but it's escaping me right now.
We won't make anything.
Right. But basically it's intentional programming and projects with high school students, with elementary students, building their social emotional skills, you know, having, you know, we talk about things like eye contact and, you know, conversational skills and working through a project to completion and being proud of that. And so Jenna and Monica have done a fantastic job, and the little kids, like, they love it. In fact, I've had to talk to a couple high school kids, like, you know, they're gone from time to time. And I'm like, can you be gone a different day? Like, don't be gone on that day, because those little kids are just like, oh, you know, they're sad. And they always get paired up with somebody else, but their buddy is their buddy. So
stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Are you a veteran planning on purchasing a home? Jason Schultz of Schultz Mortgage Team is also a veteran, and he will pay up to $500 toward your appraisal on a purchase or VA refinance. Use a mortgage lender that is a veteran to use your VA eligibility. It only makes sense. Schultz Mortgage Team. Mortgage is all they do. Call 608-604-5068.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today, occasional flurries. It could be some light dusting of snow in the area by this evening. A high of 30 today, 14 for a low tonight. It's an east to northeast wind at 5 miles per hour and a cold Thanksgiving morning. It's right now 21 degrees.
Our Black Friday blowout starts now. Prepare to be wowed. For only $5.99, get a power recliner that's going to elevate your home theater experience. The EasyView adjustable headrest puts your head and neck in optimum position for reading or watching TV, even if you're fully reclined. With one-touch power controls and LED lights, you'll be impressed by the zero-draw technology, which only consumes power when the USB receptacle is in use. Did we mention there are cup holders and also storage compartments? So you'll never have to look for your remote again. Stay organized and never miss a moment of your favorite movie. Once you sink into the comfortable seating, you won't want to leave. This win-win design is a true stay-in masterpiece. Hurry into Court & Main Furniture & Mattress. Sale through December 6th.
I'm Phil Mee with a news update. A crash resulted in an eighth OWI arrest for a Tigerton man. Iowa County Sheriff Michael Peterson reports that Tuesday night at approximately 9:50, Iowa County Dispatch received a reference of a two-vehicle crash on U.S. Highway 14 at County Highway K in the township of Arena. Emergency services were dispatched and located a semi versus truck crash. A preliminary crash investigation was completed by Iowa County Sheriff's deputies. Their investigation concluded the operator of the truck, James E. Greeley, 65 of Tigerton, was northbound on K and failed to yield to the semi, which was operated by William C. Dula, 58 of Cary, Illinois. Greeley was arrested for operating while intoxicated, eighth offense. Due to Greeley's prior OWI convictions, he was restricted to a .02 prohibited blood alcohol limit. Greeley's initial preliminary breath test was .192, which is 9.6 times the legal limit for him. Greeley remains in custody on a cash bond. Investigators say a bus driver was to blame for driving into the front of a home in western Wisconsin. A school bus leaving the depot in Holman early Tuesday morning crashed into the front of a home. The State Patrol says the bus was in working condition and that the 76-year-old driver was at fault. One person inside the home was injured. The driver will receive citations but does not face charges. A Canadian man who injured a flight attendant while on a flight from Milwaukee faces federal charges. 29-year-old Abdul Al-Jabbar Olea faces one count of interfering with a flight crew. He allegedly struck an attendant and fought with other passengers during a flight from Milwaukee to Dallas earlier this month after getting upset with the service he was getting. Olea had to be restrained by fellow passengers with duct tape after he charged the cabin and tried to open an exit door. He faces up to 20 years on the charges.
A final report on THC-contaminated food from a Dane County pizzeria. Public Health Madison and Dane County on Tuesday released its final report detailing an investigation into THC-contaminated menu items accidentally sold in late October from famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton. According to that report, at least 85 people developed symptoms after eating pizza, sandwiches, cheese bread, and garlic bread that were made using oil containing Delta 9. The commercial kitchen used by famous Yetis supports several businesses, including a state-licensed operation which makes products containing legal Delta 9. Those affected ranged in age from 1 year old to 91 years old, including 8 people under 18. Division of Forestry property manager Beth Fien says you can get a permit online or at one of the state forest headquarters. They usually cost $5. The permit will let you cut down a balsam or fir tree, and the maximum height allowed is 30 feet from a state forest. Fien says trees can be cut down in the Brule River, Flambeau River, Governor Earl Peshtigo River, and Governor Knowles and Northern Highland American Legion State Forests. Trees should not be cut down within 100 feet of any roads or trails, lakes, or designated recreation areas. More info is on the DNR's website. A Madison resident was robbed at gunpoint during a Facebook Marketplace exchange. Madison police say the victim was trying to buy a cell phone through the Facebook classifieds this week. The sellers wanted cash for the phone, but when the victim came to make the trade, the two suspects walked off with the money. When the victim tried to stop them, one of the suspects pulled a gun on them. Police say you should always do these sorts of trades in a public area. Madison police offer up secure areas at their police stations for that purpose. Thanksgiving dinner may cost you a little less this year, the annual survey from the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation says. The holiday feast should cost $57.61 to serve 10 people. That's a 2% drop in prices compared to last year. Some of the items on the Bureau's list include dinner rolls, a relish tray, fresh cranberries, sweet potatoes, stuffing mix, and a 16-pound turkey, which is priced out at just over $25. The full list can be found on the Bureau's website, WFBF.com. Millions of Americans will spend Thanksgiving with relatives who may be on the other side of the political divide for the first time since the election. Experts have some advice. Emma Nadler is a therapist, speaker, and author of the book, The Unlikely Village of Eden. She suggests that people consider what their overall goal is for the gathering and the relationships and respond accordingly.
When you feel yourself getting angry, frustrated, take a few seconds to consider how do I honor my purpose here? What do I want to say next that brings me back to why I'm here at this holiday?
Nadler says if the conversation takes a turn, take a long pause, maybe pitch in with the dishes or take a walk, rather than let things get too contentious. Some families may choose to discuss the tone of the holiday ahead of time, trying to get some ground rules set. The group Braver Angels promotes civil political discussions. It suggests people focus on finding out where the other person is coming from without putting him or her on the defensive, and try to find a common ground before starting an opposing viewpoint.
The half-price sale is happening now at Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center in Viroqua. From today through Sunday, buy any item at the regular or sale price and get a second item of equal or lesser value for half off. Don't miss out on big savings for the whole family on shoes and clothing. Mr. G's is open today through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., with a sale ending this Sunday. But hurry, special orders and layaways aren't included. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where style meet savings during November.
Choose Mr. G.
The forecast for today calls for a high of 30, a chance of some precipitation, some flurries this afternoon during the day, light snow showers possible with a light dusting this evening early on, a low of 14 tonight. And for Friday, 25 with lingering flurries possible. Friday night,
low down to 8 with wind chills near 0 overnight, and Saturday mostly sunny and blustery at times with a high of 24. We have an east-northeast wind at 7 miles per hour this morning, and after an earlier reading today of 22, we are at our overnight low. It's 21 degrees.
Y-Connect Wireless is all about big carrier coverage, minus the big carrier headaches. Powered by the nation's largest and most reliable network, Y-Connect Wireless gives you the reliability and speed you need. Backed by a local team you can trust. It's the 5G mobile network you deserve, with amazing customer service right here in your community. Y-Connect Wireless, keeping you connected with ease.
All American is your headquarters for Milwaukee M12 heated jackets and apparel. The M12 red lithium battery technology can run up to 8 hours with heating zones on the front and back, and has a quick heat function that warms up 3 times faster than similar products. Browse the Milwaukee heated apparel, including Axis and Tough Shell jackets, hoodies, women's, and more at All American Do It Center in Toma, Sparta, and Richland Center.
For 40 years, Heartland Christmas Trees has been more than just a tree lot. It's where family traditions begin. Choose from Frasier, Concolor, and Balsam Firs, Scotch, White, and Norway Pine, or the classic blue and white spruce. Plus, you'll find wreaths, roping, tree lights, and more to make your holidays magical. Heartland makes it easy with free shaking and netting for your tree. And kids will love the free candy cane. Stop by the Heartland Christmas Tree Lot at the Starlight 14 Drive-In on Highway 14 East in Richland Center. Open daily 9 to 8 with a lighted lot for evening shopping. Heartland Christmas Trees, a family tradition for generations. Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at a Marquette win and a Packer game coming up tonight under the lights.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. 3 place winners in the state and a longtime coach are the latest selections for the Richland Center High School Wrestling Hall of Honor. Induction ceremonies are scheduled for Saturday afternoon, December 21st, just before the finals of the annual Richland Center Wrestling Invitational. Honor this year will be Todd Gunderson from the class of 1985, Shea Buck Fish from the class of 1992, Justin Lambries from the class of 1996, and longtime educator and 20-year head wrestling coach at Richland Middle School, Andy Spees. This brings to 82 the number of individuals, along with the 1993 state team tournament squad, now included in the Richland Center High School Wrestling Wall of Honor. Senior forward David Joplin continued his red-hot shooting Wednesday night, scoring 27 points in Marquette's 94-59 win over Stonehill. The Golden Eagles are undefeated after 7 games. Joplin connected on 10 of 12 shots, including 4 of 5 three-pointers. Cam Jones and Demarius Owens had 14 apiece. Marquette was heavily favored and played that way while claiming the 35-point runaway. Here is Marquette's David Joplin.
I was trying to be more aggressive, try to just be who I am, try to get the game going early. I feel like some games were a little more passive, so I want to just try to be aggressive and try to get it started from the jump.
The next action Saturday against Western Carolina at home for Marquette. Bucks coach Doc Rivers told reporters that his team was going to turn it around soon. It has. Milwaukee ranks in the top 10 for defensive efficiency, and Giannis Antetokounmpo has played at an elite level for the last 5 games. The momentum is so strong, the team won without Giannis Monday at Miami. The hot streak comes during a soft spot on the schedule, and the Bucks will have to repeat the success against strong opponents to prove it's real in the coming weeks. The Wisconsin women's basketball team tips off this afternoon in the Cancun Challenge. The Badgers take on San Diego State at 12:30 p.m. The team's 5-1 start is its best in the last five seasons. Sarah Williams leads the way by averaging a double-double with almost 20 points and just over a dozen rebounds a game. Wisconsin uses its depth to wear opponents down with all 15 players getting court time. Also in action going on this evening, it will be college football, Memphis at Tulane, and during the day, a feast of football. The Bears kick off with Detroit at 11:30 today, the Giants at Dallas kicking off at 3:30, and Miami at Green Bay kicks off tonight at 7:20. Quarterback Jordan Love has talked about taking shots downfield as a quarterback.
It's definitely always tricky. I definitely am a guy who always wants those big plays, put that pressure on the defense and take some of those shots. And, I think it's a credit to the guys we got in the receiver room, too, that I trust those guys to be able to take some of those shots. But, those are the lessons that, I had to learn last year, and I'm continuing to learn. It's just weighing the right time to take those shots, if guys get a step or if we get the right coverage, versus just finding those completions.
5 o'clock game today on WRCO-FM 100.9 in Richland Center. And also last night in college women's action in volleyball, Wisconsin was a winner over Ohio State, 3-2. I'm Phil Nee with sports. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life. If you think taking part in the programs offered at Simon's Recreation Complex would be just for young people, it's time to rethink that notion. As we get older, it's more important than ever to keep moving. For people who are not active, even a small amount of exercise can have healthy benefits.
Mrs. Kitzenbull, she right at the end of football, she kind of speared up reading buddies again and got the football, volleyball, basketball team, the players to come in and read books to the kids. And that was fun, because we also, whenever there's a high school celebration, a pep rally per se, it's not as like we used to do, Phil, although Miss Durkin's bringing back the class yell again. But
2000, how do you do it now? 2000,
I don't know.
24.
2024.
It was always explained to us the seniors always won. While they're more mature in their voices, don't give me that baloney.
But we do, so we celebrate, when they're having a pep rally for sending cross-country kids to state, or when football was doing well, or when Weehaw was going to state, Mary Beth Behrens, our band director this year, and Wade McCoy, who's leading our choirs, they'll get the drum corps going and march the halls, and the elementary get in line and we cheer. And so it's part of that whole school thing that I really like, because it, to me, we're a family, right? So we're immediate and extended. So, you got things going on that we accept each other, however we are, but we also have ups and downs, just like families do. We help people. I often see, especially the TAs, teaching assistants, that are more familiar with elementary. If a kid's coming down the hallway to come see me in elementary, one of the TAs might, hey, I'll go with you, and just that sense of awareness and care, and it all ties into our school safety, which I'm very proud of Paul and Julie Heather Deidelhoff, the team that are leading our safety. That's really important. There's so many good things, Phil. Like, awesome. Super good things.
Good to hear. And a new staff member or two along the way.
Yes, Myra!
That leads us to our guest in the studio, first-time guest, Mrs. Myra Masters. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing.
Well, first, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Myra Masters, and I am the Spanish teacher at the Ithaca School. I am graduate of education from the University of Cuba, and I have been living in the United States for 24 years. In 2021, we decided to move to Wisconsin. I lived 14 years in North Carolina, working in factories because I did not know English, and going to school at night to improve my lifestyle. Then I moved to Florida, where I work for hospice as a CNA. helping families and patients during those difficult times. You know, hospice, they, mm-hmm. you know, it's very short term for the patients.
Sure. So that's quite a diverse background. So how did you get into teaching then? Was this something that was always a goal, or did it just kind of happen for you?
Well, once I graduated in Cuba in the university, I worked at the university there for 2 years. And 2 years after that, as the director of the a basic secondary school, which is very different from the education in this country, let me tell you. Because in Cuba, we do not have the resources that we have here. There are not calculators, computers, cell phones, very few books. So you are forced to use your brain and creativity as a teacher. It's not like here at all. So it was very different if you compare United States to Cuba, for example.
You had to make your own curriculum is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. You don't have calculators, you don't have computers, you don't have to do, you have to do everything manually.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you taught strictly in Spanish then?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. English is second language for me, and Spanish is the first language for me.
What's your third language?
Russian.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. This is interesting.
How did
well,
that come
yeah,
about?
Well, in Cuba, we were forced to learn Russian because the relation by then with the Russian, you know. Mm-hmm. So English, not too much. So.
And Russian is so easy to learn.
Oh, sure.
That's one of the toughest to
learn, right?
Isn't it?
And English too, though.
English is tough.
Can you tell?
Well, English is tough because of all of the slang we have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So in 2021, we decided to move to Wisconsin to be able to take care of my father-in-law. During these years, I worked as a manager for a small company until I decided and understood that why I really like is working as a teacher. That's what I was doing in Cuba. I applied for my Wisconsin teaching license and started working at the Ithaca School, and it's where I feel happier than ever. Not only because of the profession I practice as a teacher, but I also because of the school staff who are very good, and everyone cares about the well-being of the students. That's the main point.
Awesome. This day and age, learning another language is so important. And learning Spanish is very important. What a lifetime skill for the students that you teach, I think. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Learning a second language is not easy at all, but it's very beneficial. For example, it helps with memory, concentration, and clarity of mind. Not only that, but also with creative thinking. You can learn multiple languages because your brain is prepared for that. And especially for the future when applying for the professional jobs. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This also plays into, I think, one of the ways we grow our school districts in the area is not by homogenous folks who are born here, but by folks who have come in to fill our labor void. And I have the example, I really wish I knew more Spanish. Myra and I were talking about this the other day.
Yes.
And my Spanish is not good, but yet I employ two ladies who don't know much English. And the translation between the two of us, I hope it's working. And it typically does, and they're awesome, and they've got patience, and I have patience. But boy, I wish I had conversational Spanish. I'm bad. It's not good.
So I'm going to interject because my girls, thankfully, we had Spanish when they were going through. Both then continued and got a certificate or minor in Spanish in their colleges. And, yeah, the opportunities that they have because they are, and they're true, they're not bilingual by any means, but financially, as a professional, that the ability to speak a second language and in this area or in New York, right, to be able to speak Spanish fluently allows you to more opportunity for career choices. It puts people above others, because if you are bilingual and you have that dual language, even if you're not 100% conversationally proficient, that puts you above others in the job market, and it's very important. And I'm so excited for Myra. One thing she has done for me as an elementary principal is how open and enthusiastic she is for meeting my students, and how comfortable she makes the students and their families feel.
Thank you. How accommodating
she is for staff. You know, spur of the moment, I need assistance, she's right there. She's always willing to help. And her drive for getting these kids to do that is wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen it, her just in passing, you know, I don't like watch all the time, but and how passionate she is about it, and the high expectations and the work ethic that she's instilling. Like, yeah, we're work, we practice, 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 do this, you know, very intentional. So I'm very excited and thankful that she's joined the Ithaca family.
Yeah.
How are the students doing? I mean, are they pretty receptive to this?
I have a great satisfaction with my students. Mm-hmm. When I see them speaking and practicing Spanish in all areas of the school, it doesn't matter where, because it is clear that they want to learn, and based on the results of the exams, they have learned a lot. We do various activities, not only in the class. We play games like Scrabble. They love that game. We use in the Scrabble game to look for Spanish words, and it's a challenge for them. So that's a great activity for them.
That's interesting.
We going to the gym. We just dance. We just jump with everything. We sing. We interact with sports as well. You know, the interaction with the student has been great. I think they like it and they love it. It has been a wonderful experience working at Ithaca, not only with the students, but also with the other teachers and staff in general, who have been very welcoming and professional all the time, helping me with everything I have needed.
Well, we're giving out compliments, too. I wanted to compliment you on, they recorded some referendum commercials leading up to the referendum, and you had one in Spanish, and I'm thinking, man, she's got a future in radio right
there. Oh, there you go. I can work here as a part-time.
No, she doesn't. She needs to be at Ithaca.
Part-time, she said.
I would like to use this moment to tell the community that the students and I have a fundraising.
Oh.
So for the Ithaca School Spanish Club to be able to visit another country or region within the United States, so they can get to know and interact with the Spanish speaking culture, so they can practice what they have learned.
Yeah.
So I would like to use this moment to tell the community that if anyone wants and can donate to this Spanish club for these students, I will really appreciate it for the travel expenses. They can go to the school or over here,
mm-hmm.
and that will be really, really good, because these students, they are so motivated and they're trying very hard,
yeah.
and they are learning a lot. So
I believe
it is possible.
What you're looking at for a trip, Myra, is extremely important in the educational
yes.
process. My, you know, Terry and I have traveled to Latin American countries, and it just the difference of range of Spanish is interesting. We go to Puerto Rico, and I think, oh, I can speak Spanish. And then we go to Nicaragua, and it's like, I have no idea what they're saying.
Absolutely.
And I think it's part of in the brain switching a switch that when you're in the culture, you learn more too. It's different that when you're there and you feel the energy and the culture, for some reason, I become more conversational in my Spanish to where a switch flips and I get it, or I can understand enough that, oh, okay, this is what's, yeah, here's what we're doing. So and for children, you know, high school age to learn and have that experience at that age, right?
Yes.
Very important.
Yes. Yes.
So people can donate. Are you going to be doing some special fundraisers or anything?
We are selling now butter braids.
Oh, butter braids.
Yes,
I'm in.
Where do we sign up?
We're going to try every single thing as possible because, for the trip, we need a lot of money.
Right.
Because some students can afford a passport. We are living difficult times. So every kind of help. It will be appreciated.
Good luck with that. That's an awesome thing.
Do you have a case price on those? Do you get a discount if you order in big volumes?
No. No, I'm sorry. You're not special.
Not even a school board member.
That's right.
Discount there.
We can even take them to Miami. Hey, there's more Cubans there than in Cuba.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah, of course. We don't know where to go yet, but of course we are thinking to take these students to Spanish culture
and possibly stay with families in those communities and whatnot.
Maybe not, but everything is possible. For now is to you just get the money going.
Oh, good. Well,
and now we like to taste something in Espanol for those Spanish speakers.
Yeah.
So nosotros, la comunidad de Italia.